So, tomorrow I don't have classes, so tomorrow I will start to try to get caught up. And finish up over the weekend. And if the smart board doesn't hurry up and come up. Okay, we're going to... Okay, tools. Floating tools. Okay, so we are back at looking at my SQL, and I didn't quite finish more SQL last time, which is down on the week 5, so I'm going to be looking at more SQL. And if you want to bring it up and try things, go ahead. I'm basically, I think we can get rid of some lights. Do you like them all gone or partial gone?
I like them all gone. No lights.
Yep.
The screen's already sucked in.
So you like that one better?
Oh, yeah.
That's way better.
Enable editing gets it to me in one set. Okay, we got partway through this last time. I remember doing the upper, and we were at somewhere where the while and the came in. Okay. I think this is about where we were. So again, there are two kinds of functions. One act on individual records and one acts on groups of records. And if you don't specify groups, then it takes the entire table as the group. Okay, so in this example, length is dealing with each individual record. And so it goes in, and every record that comes up, it will give you the name and the length of the name. And it will do that for every single record. Okay? Now, down below, I asked it to do a count. And a count is a group function. So a count will count the records. And if I had put a period after the from other table and stop there, then it would have given it me one count for the entire table. Okay, what just happened? Neat. There we go. And let's see if it actually puts something on a smart board. Not really. Okay, so I'm going to take a picture of that one more time. And that time it managed. I have no idea what flying saucers there are. So in this case, when I say group by major, then it says, okay, that means I am going to break the table up and I'm going to get the count for every major. So it goes in and analyzes essentially major. How it does that, I don't know, nor do I particularly care. Okay, it just is responsible for figuring it out. And it happens behind the scenes, as does everything in my SQL. So that one comes back, and there are two majors. The BU major has one person in it, and the CI major has 5, so it comes back and gives me that count. Okay? Then on the next one, I am using the having. And the having is used to select which groups you actually want to see. So up until this point, it's the same as the one above. So up until this point, it has two groups, one for BU and one for count. Okay, because these are exactly the same up to that point. But then I added the having clause. And the having clause goes in and does whatever I say and keeps some groups, gets rid of some groups based on what I said. So I said I wanted to having some number of count greater than 50. Okay, and it did the sum of number CR, and apparently it did not, BU did not meet the criteria, CI did. Okay, and that makes sense because BU only had one person in it, and CI had five, and so number of courses or number of credits, whichever that means, has a chance of being greater than 50. Okay, so it basically only showed the one that met the criteria. Okay, so the having eliminates groups. Eliminates and keeps. It makes the decision, basically, about groups as to whether it is going to display the group or not. And it made the decision that it was keeping this one and getting rid of the other one. Getting rid of the BU one and keeping this one. Okay, so now on the next one, as you scroll down, I have got both the where and the having. So I said, okay, select major, and then I am doing a group by major. And I mentioned that the last time, that I should not have field names in the select if I'm doing grouping that are not one of the groups. So I'm grouping by major so I can show major. And then I can show all of the things that the function is gathering information on, like count and sum. Okay, so I can do all of that. But I shouldn't show other fields. Because if I said show name, which name is it going to show? There are five CI majors, so which name would it show for the CI major? The first one, the middle one, the last one, which one is it going to show? And as I said to you, and then I forgot to check and make sure they haven't changed it, but I don't think they have. Did anybody check? I told you to, too.
To check what?
To check and see if it allows it. Oracle, for example, will not let you write select name, comma, major up there. Okay? Because it understands that name is meaningless. So Oracle doesn't let you do that. MySQL has allowed you to do it. You get garbage for results in the sense of what name it is, but it allowed you to do it, and I don't think they've changed it. It's been that way for a while, but I was going to check and see if they had changed it. I keep hoping that someday they're going to catch on to the fact that they shouldn't have that there, okay, because it's meaningless. So I'm saying here, select major, and major is okay because I'm grouping by major. So therefore, it knows what to put in that field. So I'm saying select major, count sum from other table, where. Now the where eliminates as the group is being formed. So the where eliminates as the group is being formed, and this, you know, eliminates groups. And both of these eliminates should probably say also keeps. It determines what to keep and what to eliminate. So, the WHEA gets rid of records as the group is being formed. And then once the group has been formed, the having gets rid of any groups that don't meet the having criteria. Yes, no, maybe? That is frequently one that people don't do correctly all the time. Okay, the next one is the substring. And I'm saying here, give me name. And there's two ways I can do this. The second way is the one that most languages use. This one is probably the most widely used. That one, less so. So I say up there, substring. That means I want to take a part of the name. So substring, and I say name, and then I say from 3, for 4, which means starting at character 3 and take it for 4 characters. Now, the main thing you need to check when you're working with things like substring in different languages is whether substring is going to start with 0 or start with 1. And basically, you test it by doing something like this. Okay? What we're seeing here is the 3 is actually starting, it's starting with the 3rd character. Okay? And then it takes 4 characters. Now, on the first 3 people, taking 4 characters takes a space as well. It takes the space between Susan and Ash. Okay, so I'm only seeing 3 as output. On Bob Hill, you can see that it starts with the 3rd character and takes 4. And so you are seeing the B space HI. Okay. Now, down on the next one, it does exactly the same thing. And it says name, comma, 3, comma, 4. So it says the comma is the separator, and it says start at the 3rd character and take 4. Okay, so they work exactly the same way. If you do not put a last character in on substring, if you just say name, comma, 3, it starts with the 3rd character and takes everything from there on. So if you put in the 4, that is telling it how many characters to take. If you don't put that in, it takes it until the end. Okay, so it will take, you would see S-A-N space A-S-H. If you didn't put that in. Okay. Now, in string finds a character. Okay, so I'm looking down here at in string, and in string is finding, and the character I wanted to find is a decimal point. Okay, I really could have come up with a better example. But anyway, it is finding the decimal point in every single one of these. It is finding the decimal point in character 2. Okay, so I really, as I said, could have come up with a better example. The next one down is doing an in string and finding where the space is located in the name. Okay, so I'm saying in string, name, and then I'm looking for a space within the name. So in Susan Ash, the space is in 6. In Bob Hill, the space is in 4. Okay. So, what I am going to have you do, and it will be on the assignment that I'll put up tomorrow, and I have people do this in every language I teach. So if you've already had another language, you've already done it once. But it's basically a good little exercise to go through. So I come in with a last name, Adams / Linda. Okay? Yeah, you recognize it. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to flip this name. So I want to flip it and make it say Linda Adams. Okay, so how am I going to flip it? Well, what tells me the difference between last name and first name?
The slash.
So, what have I got to find?
You got to find how many characters before and after the slash.
Right, I got to find the slash, basically. So, just looking back at what we just looked at, what's going to find me the slash?
In string.
So, in string is going to find me the slash, right? So, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to use in-string to find the slash. Now, the problem with if you do this in a programming language, you can do it in steps. And you can say something like count equals and find use an in-string to find the slash and store that in count. But when you're doing a select, you've got to use one statement only. Okay, so you have to find the where the first name starts. Where does the first name start?
Zero.
No, first name.
Oh. Okay. So character 7. Yeah. Right.
Well, but if I put up
in string plus.
Yeah. If I put up Joe John, the slash is in a different place, right? So, therefore, I can't put any numbers in here because you don't know what name you're dealing with. So, you can't put any numbers in. So, somebody, I think, said it. I think you. What did you say?
In string plus one.
Right. So, the first name starts with in string plus one. Okay? And it goes to the end. Okay? It goes right up to the end. So, I am going to start that with in string plus one. Now, when I do this, I've got to use what command to pull something out that we just looked at?
Substring.
And so, substring has three things in it. Okay, so I have substring as the name of the field. And it has the start, and optionally, it has the end. Okay, that's optional. So in this case, I don't want to use it because I want to just go right to the end. But what I'm going to do is the starting point, I'm going to insert the in string in there so I can put a function within a function. So I'm going to put a in string in there to find the starting position. So then I will have the first name, then I concatenate that with a space, and then I go back to find the last name. And the last name, the starting point is easy, or one, depending on what you're doing. And the ending point is what? In string, but this is, I don't want to actually go right up and use in string, so I may be adding and subtracting one at different spots as I'm doing this, because I didn't want the first name to actually start with the slash, so that means I have to go past it, and here I don't want the last name to include the slash, so I have to drop it down. Okay, so that is going to be on this next homework assignment, is to go in and use substring and instring to take a name and separate it out. Okay.
would have to do some concatenation as well?
Absolutely, because you got to concatenate what you come up with for the first name with a space with what you come up with for the last name. So you're concatenating the three things together. As I said, this is a lot easier when you're using a programming language because you can do it in parts and save each part in a memory variable and put it together then. But here with a select, you've got to figure out how to do the whole thing in one command. And that's, you know, a little bit more challenging than when I can break things up and store them. Okay, what is mod? From other languages, that people have had other languages, do you know what mod means?
Remainder. Yeah,
that's right. Mod is doing the division and coming up with the remainder. So in this case, I said mod, number of courses, comma, 2. Okay, and on the one day below, I said mod, number of course divided, and I said comma 5. So if you look at the one down here and divide by 5, 5 goes into 15 three times with a remainder of 0. 5 goes into 27 five times with 2 left. Goes into 36 five times with 1 left. Okay, so mod is giving you what's left over after the divide is done.
And you'll also start to notice patterns that it only counts 0 through 1 minus what you're dividing by, the modulus.
0 through 1 minus. Say that one more time.
it goes, so if you were dividing by 5, you'd get 0 through 4 as your possible answer.
Right, right. Right,
yeah.
Because if it was 6, you can divide one more 5 out of it.
Right, yep.
And if there's 5, you can divide one more 5 out of it. So it's only going up to what your remainder is. Okay, and up here when I divide it by 2, the only choices I have are 0 and 1.
Right.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
And the format here lets me take and format it, in this case, with 00, which I really don't particularly want for a number of courses, but anyway, I now have name, major, and number of courses set up with a format of 2, which means it puts a .00 on it. On the next one, I said I only wanted 3 records, so I have a limit of 3. And on the last one, I made my backup, which I mentioned the last time. Create other table 2 as select asterisks from other table. So I am making a backup. So this essentially is the way I can back up my tables. And I strongly suggest that after you've made a table and put a data in it, that you do a backup of it so that when you mess it up, you can go back and get the original. And so that makes the backup. Questions? Okay. Then we will move on to the next one, which is keys and indexes. And again, I suggest you bring this up. I don't know Word well enough. Anybody want to tell me how I can make this bigger?
There's a thing at the bottom that says like a percent.
Oh, yeah, this thing. Yeah, that's right. I knew that was there. I use OpenOffice, so I don't really remember Word very well. Okay, so I've got right here, I created a table without a key. And I called it without key just to remind myself, okay? So I've got an ID, a name, a department, and a salary. And I've created that table, and now I've put a couple of records into that table. So that's all I'm doing there at the beginning. And then I can add a key by using the alter clause. So if I've got a table that does not have a key and I want to add the key in, I go in and say alter table, add primary key ID number. And when I do a DESC, it tells me what the primary key is. So it puts the PRI there and tells me that that's the primary key. So I altered the table without key, and I added the primary key, which was, in this case, ID number.
That's better than Oracle. Mm-hmm. I like that better.
Okay.
Oracle just doesn't tell you, it's just not null.
Right, right.
It's like in your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. I was just saying that, like, hey, that tells you.
Right. So that's a good thing. Now, the index, an index is different from a key. An index is something you put in when you know that you're going to want to order things by this a lot, or that you're going to want to retrieve by it a lot. Okay? If you have an index on something, then when you want to go in and you want to retrieve a name, it works a lot better if it can go to the index and figure out where that name is than as if it has to go through all of the records. And so you put indexes on things where you want to be able to access it by that field. You don't want to put indexes on things, on everything arbitrarily. Because when you add records to the table or drop records from the table, it has to update the index. Well, if every field is indexed, then you've really slowed yourself down in the maintenance area. And so you don't want to do that. Here I did a show index, and it comes up and gives you, in my humble opinion, more information than I need to know. But anyway, it gives you all of that information. DESC also works very well. But when you want to see the indexes, it will now show you that you've got an index by department. So I said create index, index department, on the without key table on the department. And if I want to see it, it now comes up and shows me that I have an index on department. Okay, and what I want to do is I want to name it so that I understand what it is. So I always name them something like index underscore department or something that indicates that A, it's an index, and B, what field it's on.
So I want to point out that on OpenOffice is also the magnifier on the bottom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
yeah, I guess I use that. I don't know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. That is automatic. It's really funny. There are some things you just do automatically.
You don't think.
And I don't even think about. And then I looked at Word and said, I don't know how to do this. And there we have it. Okay, let's see if we can go down. Okay, dropping an index and dropping a primary key, you can do right here by using the word drop. And I've got them both being dropped here. So I said alter the table and drop it. And then I said alter the table and drop the primary key as well. So I dropped an index by its name, and I dropped a primary key by its name. And then Here's how you can make a three-part primary key on an existing table. Okay, so I can say add primary key, ID number, drive number, contribution date. Okay? So I am saying basically alter the table, and I am adding a key that is made up of three fields, ID number, drive date, and contribution date, or whatever that is.
Now, when you type in three-part key, is that the name of your primary key?
No, alter table three-part key is the name of a table that I created.
Okay.
Well, you can see it up here where I said select asterisks from three-part table.
Okay.
And so
on Oracle, you can actually name your primary key.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that would work.
Well, you name your primary key, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying here I've got a primary key, add a primary key, ID number, drive number, contribution date, and it puts the PRI next to each one of them.
This just seems easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe they learned something. So that's how I do the primary key. Now, I had not apparently put how you do it when you originally want to set it up. And so we're going to go and look that up now. So MySQL primary key, and see what, when I looked it up, W3 Schools, I think, had a fairly good thing.
Looks like you
just type not null.
Yeah.
No.
After you put the size of your characters.
Wait a minute, I want to make sure I've got the right thing.
You put primary key at the very end and then in parentheses.
You have two ways of doing it, actually. And I'm trying to find MySQL. There we go. Now we got MySQL. And they're doing the alter. I could have sworn I found a way of... Huh. I looked this up last night. Oh, there we are. Create table. Okay. And then at the bottom, you can put the primary key.
Oh, that's just
so cool. You can say primary key like that, and that's in MySQL. You want to go to the one that says MySQL?
I think that's the same.
A lot of them are the same, but this one does not include MySQL, so I'm not going to trust that one.
Right.
This one does include MySQL, and I can trust it. If you put it in, you can also, I believe, write the word primary key right after it, up at the top, where they've got not null. But you can add primary key at the bottom. And that tells it that it's got a primary key. And let me see if they give the other example. I swear last night I found two examples at here, but maybe I was... not looking right.
Were you falling asleep?
No, I was awake.
You were dreaming.
I think I just didn't check the MySQL. Okay. But you can go in and find it someplace in there anyway. Okay. So that takes care of keys. Now we're going to do subqueries. Not really. I mean, you can if you want to. But I wasn't at this point, at least. I think it comes up later. And, gee, there's that little percent thing, right?
It works better on Microsoft Word.
Okay, so this is a subquery. And, again, the advocates of SQL are quick to point out that there are not many commands in SQL, and they list the commands like alter, select, etc. But again, there are 5,000 clauses that you can put on the select statement, so it's not fair to say that there are very few commands, because the select is a very complex command. Okay, so here I've got a situation where I'm using a subquery. If you look at it, it says select asterisks from donation, where the drive number is in, and then I do an inner select to find out what the drive number is.
Oh, you're on a different document.
The one known as subqueries. Yes. Okay, I'm in the subqueries document. So I'm saying here, select asterisks from donation, where drive number is in. And down here, I am going to be returning drive number. Okay, so the drive number here goes with that right down there. So I'm saying where drive number is in, what I select with the inner query. So that means the inner query is executed first. And it goes in and it finds the drive number. It goes to the drive table. Okay, so I've said select drive number from drive. So it went to the drive table and found the drive number of the thing that his animal home. Okay, so there is the table down there, the drive table, and it went in, and animal home has a drive number of 200. Okay? So that inner query returned 200. Okay, so this inner query, the drive number, comes back as the 200 down there. So it returned 200. So now I have looked at one table. Now I'm going to look at another table. I don't have to. It could have all been with one table. But here I'm doing two tables. I'm going down and I'm saying, look at the drive table and tell me what number, what drive number belongs to animal home. So I look at the drive table and it tells me the 200. So now I say, okay, now go to the donation table and select asterisks from donation where it's a 200. So it comes down and it looks at the donation table and there's 200 and there's 200. So those are the two things that I see, the two that have the 200. Okay, so it first goes to the drive table, finds out what drive goes with animal home, and then it goes to the donation table and pulls out the donations that were made to that cause, to that drive. Notice that the subquery is in parentheses. Okay, and the connection that I'm using is in. There are other connections that you can also use, but the connection I'm using here is in. And then I said select asterisks, but I could have said select ID number, drive number, account amount, or whatever. I could have certain fields there too. So I am now going in and looking at two tables, and I am pulling out the information from the two tables. Okay. And the reason I have to do this is that drive name only appears in the drive table. Okay, so I now have two tables, and this is set up in my database, and I have actually a donor database. And the donor database has a drive and a donation. Okay, and it also has a donor. So on my donor table, okay, I have a donor database. And I don't remember what I called it, but it's a donor database. And it has three tables. It has a donor table, it has a donation table, and it has a drive table. Now, when I've got two tables, so when I've got three tables, I need to have something that links them together. And on this particular example, the drive number is the thing that links them. And the foreign key part we'll get into when we start looking more at that. But essentially, the thing that links these two tables is the drive number. Okay? And that's an important thing when you are putting up multiple tables, and we'll look at this a little bit more. But the donor table has an ID number on it. The donation table has both an ID number and a drive number. And the drive table has a drive number. So I know that I can link back and forth between these three tables because the ID number will connect the donor to the donation table and the drive number will connect the donation to the drive. And so I have something that links these. Now, usually the things that link are also the keys, the primary keys. So on the donor table, the ID number is the primary key. And on the drive table, the drive number is the primary key. And on the donation table, it is a combination of things that is the primary key. And for you who have the Oracle class, it's the ID number, the drive number, and the contribution date. But we'll look at that a little bit more when we start looking at multiple tables more. Okay. Questions on this subquery thing? The multiple tables we will get to in the, probably on Thursday. Okay, this one uses there we go. This one was just showing what I would have gotten. So it showed that if I did a search for drive, in drive for the drive name, I came up with the 200. And then if I went into the donation table and looked for 200, that's what I came up with. So I did this in two parts here. I went and got the 200 and then I hard-coded the 200 in. Well, you really don't want to do that. You want to have one select that comes up with it, but I was just basically showing you the two steps that if I went in and to Animal Home and found out it was Drive 200, then I could go and take, say I want to see everything with Drive 200. Okay, but that's the two steps of it. And not the recommended way of doing it. You would use a subquery. Okay, so on this one, I said I am actually using the donor table twice. Okay, I'm not using different tables. I'm using the donor table twice. So again, the important thing is that I say, I say, and now I got to get rid of the ink that I didn't want. The important thing here is that I'm saying the first outer select is a where year goal. And the inner select is saying select year goal. So those are both talking about year goal. Okay? I'm relating them. I'm saying select da-da-da-da where year goal. And then I say, okay, so I want to compare year goal. So I'm going to have to select year goal. Because what I'm doing is I'm saying I want to compare these two things. And if they're not the same field, then I'm going to have a problem. If I try to compare a name to a year goal, it's not going to work too well. Okay. So I'm first going into the inner select, and I'm saying select year goal from donor where name is like percent sign ash. So that is basically going in and looking for somebody whose name is like Ash. Okay. There is somebody. Well, does anybody see Susan Ash? Did I copy the wrong table when I did this?
Susan Smith.
I know.
No Ash.
I know. It is. And I'm wondering where I've got the wrong table.
Because on my donor, the IV is just...
Okay, greater than. Yeah, no, it's there. It's someplace up here if we go up and look, except I don't know. Oh, this is the results. Okay, I thought I was looking down at the table. This is the results. Susan Ash is not in the results. Unfortunately, apparently I don't have that table there, but Susan Ash does exist. But notice what I said here. I said I wanted year goal greater than whatever Susan Ash's goal was. Okay, so Susan Ash isn't going to show up there, but I thought I had put the whole table in, and maybe it's down further. If we scroll down, are we going to find the whole table? Somewhere. There's Susan Ash. I know she existed. Susan Ash has $50. Okay, so if I just look at select name via goal from donor, I am seeing that Susan Ash does exist, and she exists at $50. Okay? Yes. So now we're going to go up, and Susan Ash was probably not a good one to pick because I think it then got every record except Susan Ash. But anyway, feel free to criticize my notes. Okay, so now we'll get back up there, and we will see that what we selected was Susan Ash. Okay, so this one got me, Susan Ash, and she had a $50 donation. Okay, so that's what that got me. And so what got returned was that, because that's the year goal. Okay, so it went and it found that Susan Ash had a year goal of $50. That ampersand means I don't care what number of characters come before it, I'm looking for Ash. So if I didn't remember that her name was Susan Ash, but I remembered her last name was Ash, I can go in and do the search with percent sign Ash, and it says any number of characters and then the word Ash. Now, if I wanted any number of characters and I thought Ash might be her middle name and so I wanted something afterward, I could put percent Ash percent. And that would get any number of characters before Ash, any number of characters after Ash. All that would say is Ash had to be there. So I went in and I got Susan Ash, and her year goal was $50. So then I said, okay, now give me the ID, name, year goal, and contact from donor for everybody that has a goal, year goal, greater than $50. Okay? Because this returned $50, so now I'm saying greater than $50. So everybody that had a year goal greater than $50 got returned. Yeah.
So since you have the percent sign in front of Ash, if there was someone else on the table with the same last name,
they'd both have come back.
All right, so then that query would give everyone who has a greater donation than both of those people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you would probably go further in the query to make sure.
Right. Yep, right. Okay, so yes, it would have returned more. But I knew there was only one, so I was safe. Okay, now on this one, again, I'm using the donor table, but this time I said, okay, select the average year goal. Okay, so I went in and I looked at all of my records, and I came up with what the average was. Okay, and I did it alone down here, which is what I had thought I had done with the other one. I did it alone down here, and average year goal is 768. And I did that just to show you. Okay, so that means that what I'm doing is I'm going to get the name and year goal for everybody that has a year goal greater than 768.18818. Okay, and the only two that do that are Dick Stretton and Mary Jones. So those are the two that come up. And if I look further down here, you'll see that those are the names, and in fact, the only two that are greater than 768 are the two that I pulled out. Okay. So it's going in and finding the average and returning everybody that has a year goal greater than the average. Okay, so the subquery is a really good opportunity to go in and kind of do this two-part thing that, again, you can do in a programming language, because in a programming language I could say select ABG equal to and do the average, and then I can come back and say give me everybody greater than ABG or whatever I've stored it as. This lets me do the two-part thing because I am going to select that first and then use it in the thing above. So it lets me have two parts in this. And in fact, you can have multiple layers of these. You can go to three layers, and I don't know if there's a limit. You'll probably run out of energy before it hits the limit. Okay, so this is back to using two tables again. I said select ID number from donation where cont amount is greater than 20. Now, one of the things here is I have an in statement. And an in statement is used when I expect more than one return. If I only am going to have one return, then I can use things like equals. But if I'm going to have more than one return, I can have things like in. So that means the in implies, the in allows multiple returns. Okay, and now it's decided to quit. The in allows multiple returns. Okay? So if you think there's going to be multiple things coming back, in allows multiple returns. Okay? Equals would not. So if I said if ID equals select ID, then I only can have one return. But when I say in implies that it's going to come back with a group. Okay. So my inner one is select ID number from donation where cont amount is greater than 20. Okay, so I am selecting the ID from the donation where the contribution amount is greater than 20. And so I will go and look at the donation table and find everybody that gave more than 20, and I will return their IDs. Okay. And then I say, okay, now I want to know who these people are, because the donation table does not carry their name. The donor table carries the name, the donation table does not. Okay? So I want to receive their name and I want to see the goal that they have established or I've established for them. So I say, give me the name and year goal from the donor where the ID is in that group that I got, that returned. So where that ID is one of the IDs that I returned. And I think I just wiped out what I wrote there, so I'm going to write it again. Maybe I'm not. It's supposed to be letting me write down. It really does get tired. Okay, there's my secret place. And it makes that light up. And I don't know exactly what I wrote the last time, but that's close enough. Okay. So when I expect multiple returns, in is a good thing to use. Okay. Now, if you scroll down, you'll actually see the people that gave more than $20 because I said select ID from donation. So that inner query, if I look at that, where I say select ID from donation, returns those IDs, 111, 1212, and then if I go down a little further, 12... 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so those are the ones that get returned. So I'm returning, apparently person 12121 gave 2 donations greater than 20. So I'm returning those names. And so 11111 is, you're right. 111 is Stephen Daniels, and there he is up there. 12121 is Jennifer Ames, and there she is. And 23456 is Susan Ash, and there she is. So those are, I got the IDs for the people that gave more than 20, and now I am seeing their names and their year goals that I extracted from the donor table. Does that make sense?
Which page is this?
Which what?
Page.
I don't know what page it's on.
Okay.
It's under the one that says subqueries.
Okay.
And it's, I don't think I've got my pages numbered, so.
Okay.
It's about halfway down, maybe.
All right.
Yeah.
This button.
Yeah,
it's okay, it does. It says 4 of 9,
oh,
actually.
Four.
Okay. But if you watch the little bar over here, it was about halfway down, so. Okay, now we're getting really interesting because we're now doing a having and a subquery. Okay, so I'm going in and saying select the average year goal from donor, which it did. And so now I have the average year goal 768, which I know that's what it is. Then I said, okay, now, and average year goal is only going to return one thing, because that's what an average does, it returns one thing. So now I said, okay, select the state, the contact, the sum of year goal from donor, group by state and contact. So that's why I could have both state and contact up there, because I'm grouping by state, and then I'm grouping by contact within state. So I'm forming groups by state, and then the contacts within the state. And then I said, now that I've got those groups formed, I want all groups that have a sum of year goal that's greater than the average. And so that's what ends up returning. So as I showed down at the bottom, that's basically the same as saying having a sum of year goal greater than 768. Okay? So I do the inner select, I come back with the average, I then group by state and contact, and I get the sum year goal for each state and contact. And then I say, okay, now look at those groups, and I want to see the groups that have a sum of year goal that's greater than the average year goal. Does that make sense? Ask if it doesn't. Because it makes sense to me, so I can't tell whether it makes sense to you. Okay, so ask if it doesn't make sense. Please, please, please. Okay, all of this is going to come back and haunt you as of the assignment that I post tomorrow. So, knowing that it's going to come back to haunt you, does anybody have any questions? Well, something like that is going to come back to haunt you. If you've had Oracle, this is a lot easier because a database is a database. And in fact, my hope is that you're seeing that if I know one database, I can move into another database with a fairly smooth transition. But SQL, as you said, is a highly valued skill, but we're covering it a lot faster in this class. Yes, because basically we're really focusing on PHP, but we got to get the data together. So we're looking at it, and on the whole, when I get you over in the PHP, we're not going to do the really complex things, but I want you to kind of have a brief understanding of them at least. Okay, on this one, I'm really getting carried away. Because I've got two selects going on. Okay, so I've got a where data first is in, and I have one select. And I said where state equals, and I do another select. Now, this one is, I know my data well enough to know there's only one camp. If indeed I was going nationwide, at least I know there's a Canton, Ohio, and a Canton, Massachusetts, so this wouldn't work, and I would have to have used an in as opposed to an equals. I can only use an equal if I am sure that I'm going to get one return. I should use an in if I'm not. And so I said here, where date first is in whatever those are, and state, and it would have been better, as I said, to have said in there. Where state is in, would have been better, and now I've completely lost it. Okay. What just happened?
You might have moved the image.
I think so, except that I think I moved in the other direction. Anybody want to tell me what page I was on? There I am, I think. Yes. No?
Page 6. Yeah, page 6. Should be.
Nah. Page 6. Okay, how did I lose this so nicely? No, it's not page 6. It just evaporated.
Oh, well, your imaging is bigger. But I don't know where it went. That's interesting.
Didn't I just do this one, right?
Yeah, can you Control-Z it and see if it comes back?
I think I've done too much. I have no idea.
I think it disappeared. Try to control C, because I don't see it anywhere on yours. I'm just looking for the...
Yeah, it did. Okay, I thought I had... Okay, so there we have it. Now I'm scared to write, so I'm not going to. So, again, you write down in your notes, and I will try to remember when I do it tonight to write the word in there. Okay, that in would have been better. So I said, go back and select the state from the donor where city equals Canton, and it came back with Canton as Massachusetts. So the first thing I did was one of the other selects, and now we'll do the two other selects first, basically. I do one of them, and then I do the other one. It doesn't matter what order I do them in. And then I say, okay, now show me this information. Where date first is in what got returned, and where state equals what got returned. So I've got an and going on there. And that could have been an or. Okay, instead of an and, I could have an or. And if I want to, I can have and I can have or, and I can do any of that kind of stuff. This can get as complex as you want it to get with as many inner selects as you need. So if you have something where I want condition A and condition B or condition C, I can write that and use inner selects for all of them. Okay. And I think we have just about maxed out. But the or is on the next page, so I'm going to go in. And this one is the same thing, but this has an or relationship going on. Okay. So, to be continued. Okay, this shows any, and there's an all. So I can say, greater in, I can use any, so it's greater than any of them. I am returning multiple things, and I need something that's greater than any of them. And I can also have an all, which will probably be coming up as well, where I can say greater than all of them. So I can do an in, and any, and all, and I can do, if I know it's one, an equal, a greater, and all the rest of it. Okay, and there's the all down there. And we'll take a quick look at those on Thursday, and then move on. Okay. Our goal here is to, and the reason we're using PuTTY is to go in and look at... SQL. And now we're going to go back and basically start using a database and incorporate SQL into our PHP so that we can retrieve selected records from our database. Okay? That's it. Exactly 10:45. Fantastic.